It's episode 297 of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. It is the day after the Royal Rumble. Ben, this is supposed to be my favorite show of the year, but last night it seemed like only one Rumble stood out to me more.
Yes, and we're both on the same page with our opinions on that one. I think the women's Rumble definitely stood out over the men's. Now, granted, going in, I will say this, because one of my common complaints about all of the WWE pay-per-views, but specifically the Rumble, is that typically the build isn't very good going in, right? And this year, they did a much better job with the build. So I definitely give credit where it's due. I'm not looking to absolutely destroy this Rumble with critiques. That's not what this is. But I think when we get into the deep part of the conversation, you'll understand my complaint here, because I'm actually, while I'm talking to you guys, I'm going to pull up the predictions that we made over on Wrestling POV, because unless I'm very much mistaken, I think we had a damn near sweep in terms of our predictions. I think there was only one difference, maybe. So I wanna I definitely wanna look at that.
I'm 3-1 and you're 4-0. What?
Yeah, and you know, that is the first time ever that I have completely swept a pay-per-view prediction game. And I don't even have it in me, quite frankly, to be proud of myself. And that's because, folks, this show was so predictable. Now, before we get into talking about the matches, let me just say this, right? So, and then I'll pass it over to you for opening commentary outside of the opening for the podcast. You know, I think they got the results right. I think the right people won in terms of the matches. So no complaints there. But here's the issue that I was running into with this show. It was so predictable, especially when it got down to like the final three or the final four for each Rumble, as to what was going to happen, that I was falling asleep during the latter part of both Rumbles. And that's not a good sign. So regardless of whether, you know, you think they got the choices right or not, which I think they did, you know, I think that this was a case where the outcomes were a little bit too predictable. And while I have them pulled up, let me go over the results for I'll do LAO and mine, since this is the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. We don't want too much crossover between us and Wrestling POV. So LAO's predictions were Logan Paul, Bayley, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. And mine were all the same, except for I had Cody Rhodes winning the Rumble, which obviously he did. So, you know, LAO goes 3 out of 4 and I go 4 out of 4. It's very rare that we both have that high of a batting percentage when it comes to, predicting these pay-per-views. But I think that goes to show you the level of predictability that these Rumbles had. And in this situation where the Royal Rumble thrives on unpredictability, I think that was a little bit of a weakness going in. So that's my opening commentary. Elio, before we get into specific matches, what were your overall takeaways from this show?
So the first half of the Rumble was fun, right up to the Logan Paul match and the men's Rumble itself. Like the women's Rumble, I feel like there was it had a different feel to that than compared to the men's Rumble. I mean, the men's Rumble felt like it was moving slow at times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the official time for the Rumble, but
You know what? I have that for you actually.
the
The for
men's felt so much longer.
no, hold on. The men's rumble was 1 hour, 8 minutes, 25, and the women's was 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Okay, so not too much of a difference there, but
In
it
fact,
certainly felt like there was one.
I have
Go ahead.
a poor message from a friend of mine that watched it. He left it this morning because I was asking him if he wanted to play the paper points game, but he didn't get back to me in time. So, but he
Right.
left me a message with his thoughts. He said the women's rumble was much better than the men's. Men's looked slow, a lot of them staying in the corner, not doing much of anything, and it seemed off for me.
Well, I agree. So it
Oh,
seems like it's
and I
go
have
ahead.
I have that one guy, Evan. I have that one guy's review here as well.
Oh, please. Regale us.
Okay, should we start from the top with the women's belt at Royal Rumble?
Yes. So before we read his thoughts, let's get into our thoughts with the
Yeah.
individual matches, and then we'll go to his.
Yep.
So I actually took notes as to each Rumble elimination for the women's in order, and I think I got them all.
Now I started writing down the entrance for the women, but I kind of got off track because I was just like sitting there watching the match itself that I lost track of like what number we were up to.
Well, and that's a good thing. So that was a point for this show.
Yeah.
So in turn, let's go over the ones that I considered the surprise entrance first.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep.
So for me, it was Naomi. Which was awesome. Great to see her back because I feel like she got shafted on her release. So it's awesome to see her back. And she was the Iron Woman of the entire match. She lasted longer than anybody. Of course, Bailey entered at number three right behind her, and she ended up going the Rumble. So both her and Bailey were the Iron Women of the match. But
Yeah,
Naomi
what Bailey lasting 1 minute more than Naomi.
Well,
But
okay.
they were
Well, that.
both but they were both like in there for like a while till right till the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other surprise entrants I had were Jordynne Grace, Tiffany Stratton, and Liv Morgan.
Okay.
In terms of surprise entrants, the only one that really took me off guard was Jordynne Grace because
Right.
you would have never seen that, ladies and gentlemen,
No.
if this was years past. I know some of you, if you're students of the game like I am, you're gonna say, well, what about a few years ago when Mickey was Knockouts champion and she entered the Rumble?
But she was in the WWE. Jordynne Grace has never been in the WWE.
Yeah, and that's the difference right there.
Yep.
I really feel like that's a step in the right direction for not only WWE and TNA to have a partnership going on, but I think that's good for professional wrestling in general.
Well, let me ask you, where does Jordan Grace go after this? I mean, do you think like she'll drop the belt and like be in WWE, like move over to WWE?
No, I don't. But
Okay.
what I do think is going to happen is I think that this is going to be the start of the door being opened between the two companies for big premium live events.
Okay.
I do think that that's what this means, and that's actually something that I really like, because that adds a level. You're going to hear this word a lot as we go through this show in particular, because it's the theme of the Royal Rumble, but it goes with the unpredictability aspect of what not only the Royal Rumble, but really all pay-per-views. I hate calling them premium live events, so I'm just going to
Right.
call them pay-per-views from here on out. But I think that's what they should be. They should all have that level of unpredictability. So that was a really nice surprise, and shout out to Jordynne Grace, because she had a particularly really good showing for herself. So she was definitely one of my standouts of that match, along with Bayley and Naomi. And by the way, I know we said this already, but both LAO and myself picked Bayley to win. You might as well call us Twin Nostradamus, bitch.
There we go.
I mean, that's gonna be the name of this podcast, Twin Nostradamus. We're gonna have to look up how to spell Nostradamus,
No, I
because
know
we
how to
all.
spell it. Don't worry. I know how to
Okay, very.
spell it.
Okay, very good. Typically, I'm very good at spelling, but I'd have to look that one up. I'd admit to that to
Now,
you.
I'm gonna tell you some of the spots that stood out to me. Number
Oh,
one,
so go ahead.
the face off between Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, and number two, Jordynne Grace and Ivy Nile, where they were both delivered suplexes at the same time.
Oh, that was awesome stuff.
Those two spots were stood out to me. I really love that those spots right there.
Yes, and absolutely, so did I. And there were a couple more. I think one got botched, because I know that was it? No, it was Kairi Sane who tried to do like the spider thing when she was like clutching to the side of the apron, and unfortunately both her feet hit the floor. That was kind of like Kofi Kingston X from a few years ago, where it was just, he tried to do an impressive save, but it was just obvious that they've mistimed it a little bit, and I think that was the case here with
Kairi Sane.
thank you. For some
That.
reason, for some reason in my head, I get her and Io Shirai mixed up from time to time.
Now, I swear every time someone tried to eliminate Bayley, I'm like, don't do it. Don't.
Yeah,
No. And then I'm like, leave Bayley alone. She didn't do anything to you. Stop it.
and speaking of Bailey, the one interesting interplay is every member
Damage control.
of Damage Control, other than Dakota Kai, was in that match, and they were all kind of doing their own thing. I know that Bayley and Asuka kind of had a very loose affiliation in that match, but it was a very nice touch that when they all got eliminated, Bayley was like, "What the hell happened to the plan?"
Yeah,
So
right.
I think that's going to come into play, and I think some jealousy is really going to start to appear within Damage Control, because they were the ones trying to get Bayley out, but now she has more success than they do as a group, now that she's going into WrestleMania,
And
and
here's what
potentially.
I can see happening.
Yeah.
Friday night, Damage Control comes out to the ring, right? Now, before the Rumble, Bayley made it clear she was going after Rhea Ripley. This is where you come in, where you say that jealousy is going to start, and then it's going to end up with Damage Control attacking Bayley, and Bayley saying, "Forget Rhea, I'm going after Io Sky."
Yeah, and that would be where I would go with that, because there's so much more story there between Bayley and Io Sky than there is, Bayley and Rhea, because I would rather see Rhea have a rematch against fuck, who was it?
No, wait, no, wait. Isn't it Becky and Rhea?
Yes, exactly. So I would rather have Becky go one on one with Rhea, and then Bayley and Io Sky. If that was two of the WrestleMania matches for the women, I think you've got a winning formula right there. So this Rumble was fantastic in terms of a good mix of surprises without overkill.
You know what?
One
I
thing
give
that.
this one a B plus to an 8.
And I would too. I would have been more comfortable with the B plus than I would the A, but I'm right there with you. And in terms of the surprise aspects of things, I am glad that they didn't dip into the legends bag too much and really focus on current talent and the future.
There
That
weren't any legends, I don't think, were there?
well. Well, no, and
Yeah.
that was so refreshing, because how many times have we seen the Royal Rumbles really fall on, relying on the legends to get them through? And I'm not saying legends appearances aren't cool, because there have been a few of them over the years where I've been like, holy shit,
Yeah.
for the man, Booker T in 2011 stands out for me. I think Diesel, aka Kevin Nash, was in that same Rumble, if I'm not mistaken. There have been a few other ones where I'm like, oh dear God. And for the women as well, Lita came back a couple times. I really liked when Michelle McCool was in that one Rumble, and she came out of the crowd wearing UGG boots.
Hold on. That was 2011 Booker T and Diesel.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Let me double check that because I'm curious. No, I'm curious because I thought that was I don't know why I get that confused with 2012. Maybe it's 2012. I'm looking that up.
But yeah, while Elio does that, let me go over the order of Rumble eliminations. First and foremost, Nia had the most eliminations in this Rumble with 8, I believe. I didn't get all of them, but I got most of them. She eliminated Xia Li, Ivy Nile, and Piper Niven. She also got rid of Shayna, Mia Yim, Shotzi, and Selena.
Mimi Yum.
Yes, I absolutely do
Mimi
mean Mia Yim. Keith Lee is a lucky bastard. So in terms of the other eliminations, the first elimination was Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Natalia, who
Okay,
came
yeah,
in.
you're sorry, you're right. It's 2011 Diesel and Booker T. I don't know why I get those two confused with 2012.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. N now, now
Thank
you
you.
n now you can call me the historian. There we
There you
go.
go. You're the historian.
And then Natalia was eliminated after she tried to eliminate her own partner, Tegan Knox. That was pretty stupid. You had an ally in there. You tried to double cross her, and you got yourself eliminated. And then Asuka, Kairi, Jordynne Grace, Caitlin Carter, and then after this were the aforementioned eliminations with Nia Lee. She had the list of three with Zaya Lee, Ivy Nile, and Piper. Then you had Katana Chance, Chelsea Green, Valhalla, and then Nia came back and eliminated, I believe, Shayna, Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, and Selena. So Nia had a really good showing. I know I'm typically anti-Nia Jax, and I think that's for good reason. But she had a really good showing, and Jade Cargill had a really good showing as well.
Oh, well, there's two more spots. Number one, Shotzi's got the green hair. She brought the green hair back.
Yeah, and thank God, because look, and I'm not criticizing her because I know why she cut her hair in
Yeah,
solid,
yep. No, I get that. Yeah.
in solidarity with her sister. But and I would never criticize that ever. And hopefully her sister is doing better and all of that. But in terms of like Shotzi is a very beautiful woman, in my opinion. Okay, now granted, I have a thing for tattoo girls. I always have, but Shotzi legitimately just seems like a very cool person, and she's very attractive as well.
And she loves horror movies.
There you go. There's another win. We can if you didn't have a husband, I'd invite you over to watch It and Halloween marathon.
Jeez.
But that goes by the wayside because I'm not an asshole who interferes with marriages. Unlike some other fans who spend $400 to ask
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss out on
Hey there, what the fuck?
a date. You
There's
fucking
something wrong with you. There's something
bitch.
wrong with you. Sit down.
Mentally, there's got to be something wrong with you.
Sorry, another spot. There one more spot. Okay, when Chelsea got thrown over the top rope, but like Piper caught her. It was funny because Piper was carrying her up the steps and she pretended to drop her dead. She was like, let's have this hilarious cackle.
Yeah,
That was
that was hilarious. And then the other eliminations were, like I said, Jade eliminating Nia, which was her welcome to WWE moment. I'm so glad that Jade has finally debuted, and I do think it was the right move not to have her win the Rumble because I know that that's something that we talk about a lot over on Wrestling POV, and I understood the argument for that. It's just that I don't think she was ready for that spot yet, and I really think that somebody would, whoever she was facing, would have really had to slow down just a little bit for her. But I see massive potential for Jade. I always did. It's just AEW didn't book her correctly.
AEW messed her up with their stupid, ridiculous booking.
But exactly. So the other eliminations, and these are in order: Zoe Stark, Roxanne Perez, Becky Lynch, Naomi, who once again she lasted 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 10 seconds. Then we had Tiffany, Bianca, Jade, and Liv for the final elimination, and Bayley was the last woman standing. So yeah, this was a fantastic showing for the women. And outside of the first Women's Rumble, which I think for historic reasoning has to stand alone in terms of the most important Rumble for the women of all time, I think that this one, I don't know why I'm holding up my notebook to prove I took notes, but I do think that this was the best showing for the women in Rumble history. Before we get into some of the other matches, I noticed that our producer is giving me the hand signal to shut the hell up. So I will heed his warning, and we'll take a break before we get into the rest of the Royal Rumble 2024. Stay right there.
All right, we are back. We are done with the Women's Rumble. Ben, I'm gonna read you that guy's review on this match.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. While there was plenty of impressive talent in there with some good moves, it felt endless, and I just didn't care one iota about any of it. It clocked in at 5 hours and 87 minutes or something like that. 3 1/4 stars.
Okay, well, for a match you didn't care about, you sure as hell gave it a decent rating. I'm not.
See, do you see what I'm talking about? When I
Yeah,
say this guy hates WWE?
I mean, I'm not sure how that rating translates into a shitty match, but nonetheless.
Jesus. Oh, okay, sure. Why not? All right, so on to the next match, right?
Yep.
And the next match was Fatal 4-Way for the Undisputed Universal Championship. It's Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles versus LA Knight versus Randy Orton.
Now, I'm sorry, because I'm probably going to sound like a bitch.
Uh-oh.
Elio,
Sir?
I could have fallen asleep during this match if it wasn't for my respect for you and the POV crew, because I thought we were doing a after show last night.
Oh, wait a minute. So out of the so far the Rumble, the you didn't really like this match.
No,
Okay.
no, no, no. And
Okay.
I will tell you why I'm being so emphatic.
But that was a cool spot. Randy Orton with the RKO with the
Well,
AJ
yes,
Styles.
that was a cool spot. Yes, I agree. However,
However.
now look, folks.
Uh-oh. He took an L to the
It
line.
was.
Go ahead. He's been serious when you know Ben's serious when he takes one of my lines. Go ahead.
From the second this was announced as a fatal four-way match, I'm like, I knew two things were gonna happen. Number one, I knew that just like with every other Roman Reigns match, that the Bloodline, aka Solo Sikoa, was gonna get involved and screw one of the combatants from pinning Roman Reigns. So check, that happened. Number
Okay.
two, I knew that AJ Styles was going to take the pinfall loss. And who took the pinfall loss?
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
But
Ding,
doesn't
ding,
hurt him.
ding.
But it doesn't hurt him.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And that's why they did it. Excuse me.
You
I'm
see,
allergic to.
my co-host is allergic to bullshit. Go
Yes,
ahead.
exactly. Perfect timing. You took the words right out of my mouth. But that's why AJ was in the match because, and I'm not saying that to be prickly, I'm saying that because, LA Knight wasn't going to take the pin with how hot he's been and how much the crowd is behind him and how he's just caught fire. So that wasn't going to happen. And then Randy Orton wasn't going to take the loss because you have to make him look credible because he's a 14-time champion and he just came back from injury, so we knew he wasn't going to take the pin. And he was the one that had the closest call on pinning Orton. I think he was the one that Solo pulled out, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that was him.
Yeah, but here's my problem, folks, is. Now, granted, I'm not saying they're wrong for this because obviously I think the stage is set for Reigns to lose the Universal Championship. I'm sorry, the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, which I absolutely think is the right call. But It's so obvious that that's what they're doing that it hurt this match. And I feel like in a fatal four way, once again, here comes that word, but I think a fatal four way is the biggest strength is its unpredictability. And this was the most predictable, fatal four way I've ever seen. From who was going to take the pin to what was going to happen in terms of Solo pulling somebody out. I would even say Solo missing the spear to send, I think it was AJ through the barricade. That was predictable because how many times have we seen that spot? It's just, nothing about this match was interesting. And see, this is what pisses me off because the review that I'm using just to run down the matches gives this match a B minus. Where is it? Where is the B minus? Elio, am I just being a prickly bitch, or do you think I have a point? You're more than welcome to call me a prickly bitch, but
Okay, prickly bitch. Compared to the next match, I enjoyed this one. And I'm not a fan of fatal four ways. When it comes to championship matches, I feel like it should always be one on one for the championship. Shouldn't be no fatal four way, triple threat, or nothing.
Okay, well, based off what you just said, I'm getting ready to really piss you off. Try not to kick me out of the Zoom session because here comes the bomb drop, folks. I thought Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul was easily the best match of the night. I did, honestly, because
Ending?
well, the ending was bullshit. But
Okay.
everything leading up to that, this was the most intriguing match.
I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, I'm just not a Logan Paul fan at all, but I mean, it
Well,
wasn't bad.
I'm not either. Can you imagine how much pain I'm in to give him this level of credit, along with Kevin Owens, that this was the most compelling match of the night?
I wouldn't give the Fatal 4-Way a B minus.
What would you
I
have
mean,
what would you have given the Fatal Four Way?
I would have gone with at least a C plus.
Yes. And if you couldn't hear me, I was rapidly and very enthusiastically applauding Elio's C plus rating for this match. Yes. Not all hope is lost. There's still honesty in professional wrestling podcasting, you dumb motherfuckers.
Are you ready for the review here?
Yes.
Okay, Reigns versus Orton versus Styles versus Knight. Nothing special whatsoever and utterly predictable to boot. For the life of me, I don't get the LA Knight hype, and the announcers claiming Reigns is a goat is absurd. The fans yelling this is awesome were just plain wrong. 3 out of 4 of the guys have been here forever and doing the same shtick they always have. An 18 out of 20 headshots to the announcers table expose the business big time with heads missing by 5 feet. Come on, if Reigns is gonna just wrestle every few months, he needs to do better than this. Or maybe for the WWE universe, he simply does it. 3 1/4 stars.
Outside of not understanding the LA Knight hype, which I have to tell you, I don't know what you're watching if you don't get that. I can't help you. But outside of that, I 1,000% agree with that. I do. Because there was nothing, not a damn thing about this match, not a moment, not a second in time, not a millisecond in time where I thought that Reigns was going to lose this championship.
Sorry, while you're talking, I'm just curious to what our good friend Bleacher gives these matches. So go on, I'm just pulling this up.
Know what? And I swear to God, in this case, I'm not trying to be an ass, but do you know what the most entertaining aspect of that match was to me?
What, the
Was
fatal
it?
four-way? What?
Yes. Was it at the very beginning of the match when Roman Reigns was taking those chair shots? When you could see when you could see Paul Heyman visibly recoiling from each chair shot that Roman was taking across the back.
Wait, that was from AJ, right? The chair shots.
I believe so, yes.
AJ was unloading on everyone with those chair shots. And was it just me, or did you notice a few camera cuts? The quick
Well,
cuts.
the camera cuts, I thought Kevin Dunn was back in the truck.
Right? Jeez.
I was getting a headache. I had to close my eyes for a minute.
Okay, sorry, Ben. I'm just gonna go back to the women's rumble for a minute because I have bleachers grade
Oh, God.
A.
Well, for once, I can't really argue with that. I would give it a B plus, but I'm not gonna bitch about the A.
For this match, we're talking about Roman Reigns, Orton, LA Knight, and Styles. They gave it a B.
Yeah, well, I personally wouldn't have rated it that high, but I get it. No, okay. No, I know that I said that Kevin Owens and Logan Paul had the best match of the night, and I do agree with that. But having said that, the fact that, or I do still stand by that, I should say. But I still have an issue with Logan Paul retaining the championship here.
Yeah.
And the way that they did the ending
That was
with
stupid.
that was just so you let Logan Paul get, hold on, I'm gonna do something for Elio's entertainment. Elio, can you see me in the camera?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me minimize. Okay, so just for Elio's entertainment. Okay. So the ref, who's got to be the stupidest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. But that's what wrestling referees are. They're stupid by design. That's not insulting them. I mean, they literally are. That's what they're designed to be, though. They're blind. They're only there to communicate to the wrestlers, you know, whatever. But the fact that Logan got hit with the brass knucks. Do you see the air
Yeah, they're
quotes?
quite, yep.
So the fact that the ref doesn't see the brass knucks when he actually takes a shot and knocks him out, but yet he sees them on Kevin Owens' hand when he's going for the pin and throws him out after the fact. You're a dumb motherfucker.
And let me tell you, if we were still playing the old pay-per-view points game, we would have done bad on the outcome of this match because no one was expecting disqualification.
And that's very true. But thankfully for us, upon the turn of the new year, Tony Goodyear, as our esteemed host, or I should say Tony Diaz, my apologies, I broke kayfabe. He cares. Oh no.
I'll tell you a
What's
story
that?
off. I'll tell you a story off air. I think I
What's
told you
that?
this one, but I'll tell you another one because it's really it was this one really made me mad. Go on.
But yes, but Tony Diaz, just forget you heard his actual name. He changed the rules of the pay-per-view points game. It's to the point where at this point I'm undefeated, motherfuckers. I'm 4-0.
I actually like this. This is what I used to do when I was a kid. I think I told you about my neighbor across the street. Her cousins used to come over. We used to make our own predictions for the matches.
Yes. And I, whenever I go over to Jeff's house, you know Jeff, he
Yep.
did the co-hosting gig with us one time. We should do that again with him sometime. He was really good on the show. Every time I go over his house for a pay-per-view, we do our own, predictions and, write it
Yeah.
down on this big piece of paper. I remember one year, he had it on like a big, bulletin board type thing with the eraser, like the whiteboard with the eraser. And my nephew Kipper had all of his wrestlers out, all of his rings and shit. It was a cool setup. I'll have to send you pictures if I can find it. It's really cool. But aside of me from marking out as an uncle for a minute, because my nephew's the coolest person on the planet, and so is my niece, by the way. But anywho, the problem with this match, was it bad? No, absolutely not. But they were billing this match as like, okay, throughout Roman Reigns' entire run as champion. And we'll get back to the Logan Paul match in a minute. I'm not skipping in my head. But the problem with the Fatal 4-Way is, it's supposed to be the most unpredictable match in his reign. Pardon the pun. Reigns is in trouble. He could lose, without even getting pinned. And despite all that, we still knew what was going to happen. There was no heat, no danger whatsoever to this Fatal 4-Way. That's a problem. Especially when you have a world title online and there's no heat going into a Fatal 4-Way. No, that's an issue. Now, getting back to Kevin Owens and LA Knight, just so you guys don't think we can't keep track of a card, or Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. I wish I was still talking about LA Knight because I don't want to talk about Logan Paul in a wrestling space. Go back to Instagram, you dumb fuck. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Because I meant to. You want me to say it louder? Go back to Instagram, you dumb fuck. Okay, very good.
I'm just bringing up everything that is remaining as well. I'm curious of what they gave it. They gave the Women's Rumble 5 stars.
I wouldn't give it a 5-star. That's a little, I would give it a 3-star, but
Yeah,
okay.
they gave it 5.0 out of 6 stars. All right. The four way they gave a 3.4 out of 6. This match, Logan Paul, that we're talking about now, right?
Yeah.
They gave this one, hold on. They gave this one 4.2 out of 6.
I agree with both of those last two ratings. You
Now,
know, I
what is that for you?
which one?
The 4.2.
The 4.2 would be a B, would be like an 82% out of
B
100.
plus or B, a B plus or B.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. My bad. 4 out of 6 would be 67%. So if we're going, because this isn't like a regular grade scale, I would say
Right.
that would be like an upper C, but in a regular grade scale, that's actually a D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving you a little bit of grace period here.
And then we have the guy's review here on the Logan Paul match, unless you have anything else.
No, I just, the problem, and I understand why they use Logan Paul. Let me just be fair for a second, because the guy is very good at what he does. Okay?
Yeah.
But the guy did his job, and I always try to be fair, and I think we've always given Logan Paul the credit he deserves. And I'm not trying to be an asshole strictly because I'm not a social media guy or I'm not particularly a fan of his or what he does. When it comes to wrestling, I have been extremely impressed by Logan Paul. He has taken to this sport unlike any other celebrity I've ever seen in my life. Because, if you guys have been listening to our show for any reasonable length of time, you know that in general, I despise celebrity involvement in my wrestling because, in my opinion, they make it look like a farce.
Yes.
Would you say that's a fair statement, Elio?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Because I always like to get a second take here just in case somebody thinks I'm being ridiculous. And by the way, if you disagree with me, you can feel free. I'm not saying that because I'm not
No, I
trying to
know.
get you
I'm
to.
saying I really hate celebrity involvement in wrestling. Because
Okay, cool.
I feel like they la when their celebrity involvement, it feels like they're laughing at the wrestlers. Like this is all for fun. It's a joke, right? It's fun. It's just
Exactly.
fun, you know. It's like we don't go there and laugh at you.
And Logan Paul has clearly taken this very seriously. And what am I mad that he's on a pay-per-view defending a championship? To be honest with you, yes. Do I think it's ridiculous that he's the United States champion? Absolutely. Do I get it why he is? Yes. Do I blame WWE for doing it? No, because what were they doing prior to this that was so special with their US title?
Nothing.
I have a problem with them making the US title a farce like this, but I give all credit to Logan Paul for taking it seriously and really doing his job. I think the only bad match I've seen from him was the one where he got significantly hurt after going through the announce table off that dive,
Oh,
which
was that with Roman Reigns?
that was at Saudi Arabia, which
Yeah.
I could be a real ass and say, well, he kind of deserved it since he was recording it on his phone, but he was just being a heel.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a pass for that because once again, he was doing his job, and I don't want to see anybody getting hurt. Let's have that be clear. I don't want it to seem like I'm joking around or anything. I don't like to
Yeah.
see anybody getting hurt at all. So was it my favorite match of the night from a wrestling perspective? Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan and Logan Paul did his fucking job. So at the very least, you can't say that I'm playing favorites here because if I was playing favorites, I'd be taking your shit all over Logan Paul. I just want you guys to know that. So I'm trying to be somewhat impartial here. Now, as for this men's Royal Rumble match, did you have anything else to say?
Hold on. I have that review for Logan
Okay.
Paul. A really good match diminished by a lame screw job finish. Logan Paul is re remarkably good for this little experience. 3.5 stars.
I agree with every word of that. I think I backed that up before I even knew what the guy was going to say.
Okay, now on to the men's rumble. Now this one, I started doing the entries for the women's and I lost track, and I didn't even bother doing it for the men because I was sitting there watching, trying to find something in here, but it just felt slow moving. Of
Yeah,
course, no. Go on.
outside of Andrade, there were really no surprise moments.
No.
And even I knew that Andrade was coming back after he left AEW when he did. But having
And
said that,
this,
it was.
sorry, this is what I hate. They ruined number one and number two because I accidentally clicked on this one thing. I wanted to find a match order and start time, whatever what was, and they spoiled one and two by saying that it was gonna be the Usos. This is
Well,
why I
that sucked.
hate. This is why I hate these wrestling sites. That like, well, we know all the inside stuff. Stop! I
No,
don't want to know
you don't.
anything.
No, you
I don't
don't.
want to know
Fuck you. No, you
anything.
don't.
Right? I don't
I'm
want
not
to know
saying fuck you
anything.
to you. I'm saying fuck you to the wrestling site.
I don't want to know anything. I want to be surprised.
We used to work for one, and I'm so glad we got the fuck out of there.
Have you noticed that you don't see any posts about that anymore?
Yeah, I have
But
noticed that.
I'll tell you something, another story off air about that.
Oh, very good. We're all full of juicy tidbits for after the show.
So
Unfortunately, we don't have backstage access on this podcast. I apologize.
So, of course, one and two were the Usos. Then we had Grayson Waller, Andrade. I had Carmelo Hayes. I had number five for the Men's Rumble. So I had a good pick, though.
Yeah, and I think he will be winning Rumbles in the future.
Then we had Shinsuke. By the way, side note, Shinsuke's star character, do you know where they got that?
No.
That is his NJPW character because initially he would mock the King of Strong style moniker. Like he would make jokes about it and laugh at it and stuff. But then he started really taking it seriously, and he was the original creator of the Chaos faction over in New Japan.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So of course we had Santos, Karrion Kross, Dominic Mysterio. Okay, the one thing that was, the one part I enjoyed was CM Punk dumping Dominic Mysterio over the top rope, because if you remember, they had a storyline going with Straight Edge Society and Dominic and Rey Mysterio and Aaliyah,
Yeah.
where creepy CM Punk was singing "Happy Birthday to Aaliyah."
Yeah, I remember that one. That was hilarious.
The look on Punk's face, he was scaring me, just like the way he was looking at her. I was like, what
Yeah, exactly.
So we have Bron Breakker, then we had Omos coming in. Now, okay, this part bothers me. You could have given this to anyone. You could have given it to either Briggs or Jensen. You just broke up that team. But you gave it to Pat McAfee, and what did he do? He climbs onto the
Nothing.
apron, climbs under, he steps into the ring. He's like staring at Omos. Then he climbs up on the top rope. I'm like, well, that's an easy way to get eliminated. But then he comes back down, climbs out of the ring, stands on the apron, climbs back in, and then just eliminates himself. Then why bother? You
Well,
took a number. You took a number away from someone that could have used this match, could have used to be in this match. And Pat McAfee, this guy deserves better than this spot.
yes, but I think the reason why they ended up doing that was because I think his number was originally supposed to go to Brock Lesnar, and obviously they weren't gonna have
Oh,
her.
okay, wait. Yeah, but still, I mean, why give that number to Pat McAfee? We're just gonna have him doing this. So he could have given
Well,
it to someone else.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I think that's why they did it.
Okay.
I don't know what the rationale was,
Well,
but
I'm glad the original wasn't in it. Not
well,
you,
yeah.
not you, the original. Get out, stop it. You could have been in there, actually. The original, Ben Pierce. There you
Yes,
go.
I would have been more entertaining than Brock Lesnar, believe me. But they weren't gonna have him after he was named in the court
Right.
documents. Absolutely not.
No, I'm saying I remember past Rumbles, there was a number, there were numbers that were supposed to come out and they never did, and they just forgot about it afterwards. These were older Rumbles.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's all I really have. Do you have anything?
No, I just the problem with this men's rumble is that it completely lacked any intrigue, any
Oh, hold on,
mystery
hold
as
on. You had number 16. You had Bronson Reed.
well. And see, I wouldn't have had an issue with that pick. But obviously in this situation. Bronson Reed's not gonna win. I mean, but
Yeah.
speaking of Bronson Reed, that actually pissed me off, and I'm so glad because I don't think I would have remembered to bring this up.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if I sound depressed, it's because I am. Okay?
Oh.
Not only did the Ravens lose shortly before I came on the air tonight, but also
Boom! Who are they playing?
they played the Chiefs and
Oh,
then
fuck the Chiefs. Fuck Kansas
they
City.
and
I was going for Baltimore.
yeah, well, I love you too, man. I fucking adore you. You're amazing. But you know what? And fuck the Taylor Swift fans because that's all you care about with Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl. Nobody gives a fuck. Go away. But here's something I did give a fuck about in this Rumble. Do you people realize who eliminated Bronson Reed?
Oh my, can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Would it be Obas?
Yes, that was fucking You know what? I'm gonna be straight up and honest with you. Hand to God, I forgot he was employed. I would have thought he'd be on the unemployment line the second they sent Vince the fuck out of the door.
You know what? There were more eliminations
Because.
there were more eliminations in the Women's Rumble than there were in this one, because I'm looking down this list. Every one of these guys had either one or two eliminations. The Bron Breakker and Cody Rhodes were tied for four eliminations.
Yeah, well, and speaking of Bron Breakker, that's another name I'm glad you bring up. He was like my favorite part of the Rumble. He had a fantastic performance, I thought. And afterward, here's a tidbit for you in case you guys didn't see this, but afterward, he confirmed that he's now on the main roster.
Oh
In
no,
a,
wait, on where?
like the after the show
No,
internet exclusive.
where is he, Raw or SmackDown?
Well, I don't know, he just said main roster.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that makes me happy. That's vastly overdue. He should have been up on the main roster the like just the entire year, I would say.
Right. Yeah. So, is that all we have for the men's rumble?
Yeah, I mean, really, until I'll just say one last thing. The final everybody, I think everybody with hat here. I'll steal a line from Claire Huxtable in
Cosby
one of
Show.
my favorite episodes of the Cosby Show. This was from The Wretched Part Two, where she's yelling at
Jesus Christ.
Vanessa for going to the Wretched concert in
Okay,
Baltimore.
fans, you know Ben's serious when he can remember the title of the episode. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I do my research with these things. But in all fairness, this is one of my favorite episodes.
Go ahead.
She and in the episode, Vanessa gets in trouble for going all the way to Baltimore. When
Uh-oh.
to see a concert when she said that she was just going to her friend's house. Well, when the parents found out that she went to a concert, they were thinking, well, okay, we'll just see where the Wretched are playing in New York and go ahead and meet them. And Denise, who played by the lovely Lisa Bonet, who I had a crush on growing up. Hi, Lisa. I'm so glad you left that. I'm so glad you left that Jason Momoa motherfucker. No, I like him too. But anywho, so Denise goes. They're not allowed to play in New York because they got in trouble last time for like causing a riot or whatever, and then the guys on the news say, the lead singer, Wretched, wants to thank the citizens of Baltimore for allowing them to play there tonight. So they find out that Vanessa went to Baltimore to see the Wretched instead of staying in New York. So she gets
Oh.
all pissed off. And then it comes, and then when she's yelling at Vanessa, Claire says, "Anyone with half an ant's brain could have figured out it was time to come home after they got their car stolen in a Delaware donut shop parking lot. But you, no, you thought you were gonna get on a bus and go all the way to Baltimore, all the way to Baltimore to see the wretched." You know,
Yes.
if you guys haven't seen the episode, it's tremendous. But I mean, you know, I had more fun quoting that episode than watching the end of this Rumble, because I think everybody watching with half an ant's brain could have, the reason for the story, could have figured out that these were going to be the final four guys, based on what we saw on Monday Night Raw.
And I think I can get the review in real quick. We have 2 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
For this one, solid, entertaining, predictable. 28 of the 30 guys, even you didn't stand a chance, so we kind of turned it into an endurance contest. 3.5 stars.
Well, I think he's being kind with the rating. I would have given it 3 stars, if that, honestly. Because this didn't have to be a rumble to get us to where we needed to go. Obviously, they were going to make it one because that's where the pay-per-view is. But everything before the final four just felt like it was extra time filler.
Yeah, it felt
And
so slow moving.
yes, and with that being said, we'll be right back to wrap up the episode with Wrestling Roulette. Stay right there on this edition of the Royal Rumble post show.
All right, we are back. And Ben, I was telling you that we were gonna bring New Japan into this, into our show. Now,
Right.
they had 3 shows this week. Of course, these are like the road to new beginning. However, there a lot of these matches are repetitive. They're 10-man tag matches, 8-man tag matches, 6-man tag matches. I'm not gonna go through everything because they're basically the same show, only in different cities over
Yeah,
there.
okay.
So I'll just basically read off the main event, which in on the 21st they had Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, Shingo Takagi, Tetsu Naito, and Yoda Tsuji defeating Doki Sanada, Taichi Takamichinoku, and Yuya Uemura. Then they had another show on the 23rd in Corken Hall in Tokyo. The main event was El Desperado retaining the never open junior heavy, no, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship by defeating Yoshinobu Kanemaru. And then they had one on the 24th. The main event, that one was Shota Umino defeating Ren Narita.
Okay.
So that's about it for the Royal Rumble. Ben, I'm gonna try something new. Well, do like a blind ranking. But before we get into the blind ranking, I found a murder mystery.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
So, give me a minute. I'm just gonna, or do you want to set up the titles, like who got murdered and who found the body?
No, I think I can hold on, let me get a piece of notebook paper just to write it down, but I don't think I have to set it up ahead of time. Hold on.
All right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to set it up before we get started.
No, I'll be good. I got a good memory.
All right,
Let me
all
just
right,
grab a pen.
all right. Okay,
There
so
we go.
let me just start off, and we're gonna start with who got murdered. Are you ready?
Yep.
And go.
Stop.
Ooh, Kofi Kingston.
You're making me not so crazy anymore, man.
What's that?
I said, you're making me not so crazy anymore, man, because you're dead.
Oh no. Okay, ready? Who found the body? And go.
Stop.
Oh, Lita found the body.
Well, she better not be the she better not be the perpetrator, because I can't send her pretty ass to prison.
All right, let's take a look at who the lead detective on this case was. Are you ready?
Yep.
And go.
Stop.
Kurt Angle is the lead detective.
That's hilarious.
All right, who is the major suspect? Go.
Stop.
Uh-oh. Okay, we have some corruption going on.
Oh.
Because Kurt Angle is a major suspect.
Oh dear.
Jesus, what?
What is this, Law and Order?
Who has the alibi though? Go.
Stop.
Bianca Belair has an alibi, okay.
Okay, that's random, but
All
okay.
right, geez. Let's take a look at who suspect number one is. This should be fun. Okay, go.
Stop.
Wait, try it again because this one went by too quick. Okay, go.
Stop.
All right, the suspect number one is Becky Lynch.
Now the ladies are getting involved.
All right, who's suspect number two, though? Oh, suspect number two is Liv Morgan. Oh, wow.
He's not popular with the ladies, is he?
No, he's not. What's going on? Who's suspect number three? Let's see. Okay, suspect number three. Well, that's random. Batista, suspect number three.
Okay.
All right, sure. All right, so let's see who hit the body. Are you ready? Go.
Oh, we already did. Oh, who hid the
No,
body?
who
Okay.
hid the body? We did found the who found the body.
Okay.
All
I'm
right.
sorry.
All right. And go.
Stop.
Oh, Becky Lynch found the hid the body.
Okay.
Wait, don't you ever as a suspect as well?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so that
Curiouser and curiouser,
adds up.
as Alice in Wonderland would say.
Indeed. I appreciate the reference, sir.
All right, down the rabbit hole we go. Who is the killer? Ben, go.
Stop.
Oh, what? Okay. John Cena?
Oh. Golden boy, not so golden anymore, is he? Okay.
Who is the judge?
Okay.
All right, let me set up. Hold on. Who is the judge? Go.
Stop.
The Miz.
Oh, boo. This is going to be the most boring trial in the history of history. I'd rather watch him dry.
But let's see who went to jail. And go.
Stop.
Well, John Cena went to jail.
Oh, well, that was accurate.
Right, so that is the murder mystery. Now, Ben, I have it set up for the blind ranks. Okay, now
Okay,
you're not
hold
gonna.
on, hold on, but let's go
Sorry,
over the
go on. Tell me the story. Let's
let's
go.
go over the case.
Tell me the
So
story.
Kofi Kingston was murdered. Lita found the body. The lead detective and the first major suspect were Kurt Angle. The alibi was had by Bianca Belair. Suspect number one was Becky Lynch. Suspect number two was Liv Morgan. The third suspect was Batista. Becky Lynch hid the body. Apparently, she was having an affair with the killer. Otherwise, why would she hide the body for John Cena? The judge was The Miz. And I think for the first time in the history of every time you played this game, the right person actually went to jail because the killer, John Cena, went to jail for his crime.
Nice. All right, so we're going to do blind rankings. Now, Ben, you said you wanted to do a top 10, right?
Sure.
All right, so... So it's good. The way it's gonna work, I'm gonna play 10 tracks. You're not gonna know who's next. It could be AEW or WWE, and you're gonna rank them 1 to 10. And I have the numbers in front of me, so I'll write that. I'll keep track of what number you put them in.
Okay.
All right. Let me just pull the numbers up here. My phone would cooperate. All right, Ben, you're not gonna know which theme it is. It could be AEW, it could be WWE, and you're gonna blind rank them, all right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, what do you got?
I'll put Damian Priest at number 8.
All right, Damian Priest at number 8. So, hold on. There's something's not right about this, though. Okay, give me a minute. All right, here's your next one.
I don't recognize that one, first of all. Who was it?
That is Sylvain Grenier.
Okay, well, just because of a penalty, Sylvain's got to go at number 10.
I agree, because that is terrible. Jim Johnson, do better.
Exactly.
All right, here we go.
Okay, remind me who that is.
That is the Road Dog with My Baby Tonight.
Okay, well, that's going at number 9.
All right, so so far the bottom half is slowly filling up.
Indeed. All right. I'm giving Dolph Ziggler number 3.
Ooh, okay. So Dolph Ziggler is at number 3, okay. All right.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
I'll put Owen at number 5.
Okay.
I'll put Jericho at number 4.
Okay. That's Rick Rude.
Ah, God.
That's
Okay.
terrible.
Well, he's going on the lowest remaining spot I have, which is number 7.
Okay. Sorry, Rick, but it's not you, it's that ugly theme because the first one was better.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, remind me who that is.
That's Evan Bourne.
Okay. Evan Bourne is at number 6.
Okay.
Okay.
That's Tegan Knox.
Okay, now you're really gonna know that this was blind rankings.
You only
Okay.
have one and two left.
Yeah. Okay.
You have 50-50 chance that the next one could be a good one. So where's Tegan Knox going?
Two.
Two. All right. Are you scared of what number one's gonna be?
Yes.
Here we go.
If you smell what the rock is cooking.
All right, so there's number one.
The Rock has saved us. I can live
Oh.
with that.
All right, so here's your top 10. At number 10, we have Sylvain Grenier. Number 9, Road Dogg. Number 8, Damien Priest. Number 7, Rick Rude. Number 6, Evan Bourne. 5, Owen Hart. 4, Chris Jericho. 3, Dolph Ziggler. 2, Tegan Knox. And through number 1 is The Rock.
Yes. Well, I feel like that's a good list considering it was blind.
Well, it's what, like, when I saw this, I'm like, okay, this should be interesting to try out. Because, like, you don't know whose themes are going to pop up. Because
Yeah.
I've tried this on myself, and, like, some of the, with the top five, though, not top 10.
Cool.
So, Ben, all we have next is Wrestling Roulette.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, so I played 21 tracks, and Ben has to guess which WrestleMania theme belongs to. I only played 10 seconds, and of course, we have the obstacle. So, wrestler's theme shows up more than once in rotation, it's minus 1 point. So, I'm just gonna clear the counter here. And Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Yes, boy!
Pretty deadly.
Really deadly, and his terrible theme.
Oh God. And their gimmick is terrible.
Yes. All right, number 2.
You look so good to me.
Billy and Chuck, The Runway, or just Rico? Any one of those could have qualified for that song.
You know what? In this case, it doesn't show either of those three, but I'm still gonna add it because still, it's
I
and
was
the
very
run.
I was very thorough with that answer.
I had to look up the runway because I'd forgotten about that. That was Jackie Gata and
Yeah.
Rico. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Number 3.
Time to play the game.
Triple H.
Triple H. All right.
Fight Club. Four.
Bullet Club.
Bullet Club. You know what? I'm gonna and yeah, because over here they have listed as Juice Robinson's theme, but it's still the Bullet Club. Damn it! Go ahead.
Yes, it is. Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
Miss you, man.
Damage control. Yeah.
I still would have known it was damage control based off of that first couple seconds.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so six, you have six up and six down. Here we go, number seven.
What the fuck was that? I've never heard that in my life.
That's a theme.
Oh my God.
What do you have?
Jinder Mahal?
That's Jinder Mahal. That's his new theme by Def Rebel. And
oh
Wally
my
Sandu.
God, that's a terrible theme.
There you go, right there.
Oh my God.
All right, you ready for your leg to rate?
Sure. Brodus Clay or the Funkadactyls.
Well, you said Funkadactyl, so yeah. All right, here we go. Number nine.
Yep. Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. That moves you down to eight.
No, nine. Cause that was number 10, so that would have been number that would have moved me down to nine.
Why would it move you down to nine? Wait.
Because that was the 10th song, and I've gotten every single one right from there. So that would have been number nine.
The Brutus Clay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait. Yeah, that's right. Because, yeah, that moves you down to nine.
Okay.
Here we go. And Brutus Clay got you. Well, actually, and here... They have it listed as Tons of Funk.
Okay,
who is that?
That was Brutus Clay and the Funkadactyls.
That's just weird. All right, whatever. Go ahead. All right, here we're number 11.
I have no idea.
That is Al Snow.
Jesus.
All right, number.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, that was, I believe, when he was. I think it was like either before or after his head theme.
Okay.
All right, number 12, here we go.
When shopping for furniture.
No, don't go, Sheets. Okay, we'll be back. All right, sorry about that interruption. We have to deal with ads. But anyway, here we go, number 12, Ben.
Oh.
I don't have a single clue.
That is the Fabulous Freebirds. Bad Street
Okay.
USA. Dude, if you, you, that is one of my favorite themes. Bad Street USA is a cool song.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the song, but I just didn't know who it was.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's a really cool song. I really enjoyed that one. And side note, in 1987, Michael Hayes put out his own album called Off the Streets.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which I believe is available on YouTube in its entirety.
Was it any good or no?
It was okay. It was the 80s. Like, it's the usual hair metal type music that they that was around then.
Okay.
Like, if you want to give the listen, you can check it out on YouTube. All right, so here we go, number 13.
The red rooster.
No, it's not. It's the blue rooster. Yeah, that's right. All right, here we go. Number 14.
The Vaudevillains?
No, it is not. That is John Cena.
What?
It's Untouchables off of the thematic, the music volume 6.
I guarantee you he's never used that in his life.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't used that in his life. I don't even know why this is
okay,
on
that here. That doesn't count. Give me a new one.
We know the new one. Wait, you had 10, right?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, we can give you another one. That's just weird. All right, here we go. Number 14. No,
I have no idea.
Akira Tozawa.
Well, I'm proud of myself.
All right, number 15. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
That is Eddie Thorpe.
I'm proud of myself. I don't care.
All right, number 16.
Hayden Carter.
That is Sylvain Grenier.
Oh, fuck.
All right.
I should have got that one. I'm sorry.
Number 17.
Save me, Elio. I'm falling off a cliff. I started off so well, and now I don't know shit. I don't know.
That is Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, since when? Fuck you. Not you particularly, but you.
That's a bonus track off of WF the Music Volume 2.
Oh my god, he never used that in his life. Give me another one. Come on. None of this WWE volume, whatever the fuck theme. Where
all right, here we go. Okay,
Nobody
okay,
cares.
Okay. Shut up. Here we go.
Is that Cameron Grimes?
Yes. I was like, come on. You know this one. What the f- All right, 18.
I have no idea.
That is Hulk Hogan's theme.
Who gives?
That was one of my favorite times. That was one of my favorite times. And thing is, that's a real song.
Well, I have no doubt that it is. I just don't recognize it as Hogan's.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's a real song called Ravishing. I didn't even know that. But like, that was cool. Like, one of my favorites when I was growing up. All right, so number 19, here we go. Minus one. Jinder got you, Ben.
Fuck you, Jinder.
Jinder hindered you.
You did.
That's number 18 or 19?
That was 19.
Okay, here we go, number 20. Here we go.
I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna hurt you. Feel the pressure. Feel it growing.
Trust me, you're hurting me by subjecting me to that. I don't know.
That is Katie Lee Burchell.
Oh my god.
All right, you ready for
your, ferocious.
Are you ready for your last one?
Yes, I am. I have no idea.
That's M.I. Smooth, WCW.
Oh my god.
All right, Ben, your final score is 10.
Well, that's not too bad. Sucks, right, considering how well I started, but yeah, well.
And I know we have to go into a commercial, but we'll be back to wrap this up with a proper ending in 10. All right, Ben, so your final score is 10. On Wrestling Roulette.
Yes, sir.
Now, what do you say we bring this show to a close?
I agree. Let's do that.
All right. So, Ben, you know, I'm really upset.
Why is that?
You've been talking way too much. You talk throughout this entire show. You monopolize the show. Let me tell you. If you wanted to be the host and take over, all you had to do was ask. But you just sit there with your hot dog and then grandstanding. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I turned my back on you. And on Tuesday, the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast explodes.
I look forward to it.
And you're going to find out why I am the madness.
Well, this is quite the cliffhanger.
All right, so... that's it. This is Ben's last show. I'm not doing this anymore. You're on your own, Ben. You want to be the host? Have fun. I'm out.
I shall have a blast.
All right. So we'll be back on Tuesday with Tuesday Timeline. We'll be in Atlantic City, New Jersey with WrestleMania 5. The PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast explodes, and Ben will find out why the madness has always ruled this podcast from the beginning. Until then, Ben, say night to the fans.
Well, Elliot was sufficiently scared to share me, but that was one hell of a cliffhanger. We shall be back because I have to find out what the hell is going on just as much as you do. We'll see you next time.
Come close now, let me tell you a lie.